sustainable, and consistent. So whatever we build in terms of serving the community in our area, it has got to be consistent. So we're not going to do it and then stop it and then, or then do it and commit to it and then actually 6 months later say we can't do it anymore. And because that's no good to the community, that's not a great witness to the community, and it certainly doesn't meet their needs. It's an experience rather than something that's transformed over time. And so we want it to be consistent, and it has to be sustainable, something that we can continue to maintain over time. And this kind of represents all of the things that we do. God's given us a real clear burden for this area. And you may or may not remember that last year when we went to conference, there was somebody preached a message which was about gatekeepers. And it was about the church being the gatekeeper of the work of the enemy in a particular area. And at the time, Martin Enever and I both really felt quite stirred by that. And then when we looked up what bulwark meant, it means fortified walls. And so we are about shining God's light in this immediate locality with absolute, as much beauty and grace and compassion and love as we can on people who need it. And so we feel that really clearly. So we have now got a community team. It's a new step, but we have got a community team and we've been meeting for a while. So I'm just going to introduce them all to you. So if you're on the community team, I would like you to come out. That's everybody with a T-shirt on. Move then. Oh, so slow looks, because they're all, oh no, it's not me. Okay, so, and I'm just going to talk about what they do. Paul, try not to look at Paul's T-shirt, because do you know what I mean? I know, but it's too good an opportunity. I know, but it's too good an opportunity to miss. I think it's got legs, that one. So, right, I'm just going to start with a part of the community work that actually isn't kind of homegrown or owned by the bridge in that sense, but it is a really important thing that we support, and that's represented by Jan, and technically Sarah should really be standing here as well, but you know, it's, yeah, but she's here in spirit. So we have food bank. We basically facilitate food bank running in this building on a weekly basis and have done for years and years and years, and actually we've just received a donation from food bank of £500. So really, thank you. Please, thank you, thank you. And so Jan this year has also run a community project called the Food Bank Cooking Course. And is that what it's called? Eat well for less. Okay, thank you. So, and basically, she's been her and Joe Doyle have been teaching somebody to eat well for less and to eat healthily and things like that. And that's been running out of our building. So I just wanted to highlight that to you. And Jan kind of is the voice of Food Bank as well as other things on the team. And then you just need to come stand here because we're doing breakfasts. And you're wearing Can you just stand there as well because you're breakfasts? Right, so, and also you want to see Lynn in here. So this is actually serving community and growing together, because these guys run the breakfasts and the events for sort of men and women. And so Paul's heart for the men's breakfast is basically that, or any men's events, is to give men an opportunity to connect. And there are lots of men in the room who can't make life groups. Did you notice that? I got that right there, because usually I say connect groups. They can't make life groups on a weekly basis because they're just really busy. They're busy with work. And so the whole point of the breakfast is that men can come together, that they can bring their boys together, and they just have a fun time, and they just connect, and they encourage and love one another. And that is open to people in the community, for people to bring their friends along. So that's the heart of that. And then we have women's breakfast that these two lovelies and also Lynn pull together, and other women's events. So next week we've got a afternoon tea where there's going to be a motivational coaching talk for women. And then it's worth remembering that the women's Christmas breakfast has been a big, powerful tool for God in our friendships beyond the church walls, because several people have come into community and relationship with us and attended those events, and God's really blessed them and used them. So these guys do that. If you're interested in helping, I'm sure they'd love to spend some time talking to you about that. And then I'm coming to you next. Okay. Martin leads the school's ministry. Okay. And Martin basically works with Thornwell. Do you go to Pembroke?
Not yet.
And there's conversations about you going to Pembroke, isn't there? To do school assemblies on a monthly basis. And he's been doing that for a long time. And I think Leslie helps you, doesn't she? Leslie helps him. Now, this year, what he would really like to do is he'd really like to start a work called Open the Book. And Open the Book is, it's a bit like it's a really helpful way of churches sharing the gospel with children, because essentially it's all provided for you. They provide you with a script, they provide you with resources like songs or things like that, and you basically just have a quick practice, quick get together, and then you can go to the school and do the assembly. I've seen them. In my day job, I've seen them in schools, and they are really, really good. And Martin is looking for anybody who might be interested in doing that with him, because he really wants to increase the school's ministry and develop it. So if you're interested and you're a little bit interested in like doing assemblies and ministering that way, and you've got a morning a month or a couple of hours a month to spare, please go and speak to Martin, because that's something he'd like to develop this year. And then, can you come here? Yeah. Do you know what? I'm really well prepared, by the way. Sorry, we're moving house. It's all a bit full of boxes. It's what I find quite fascinating, and I just wrote this in my notes actually, is there is a generational thing going on up here today, because there is a mother who has raised her daughters to care about the community. And that's what we're seeing here. So every time we have a conversation with our children about, let's do the fun day, let's help out at Relentless, let's go and deliver leaflets for something, let's go and do the litter pickup, let's go and do a different part of a project, let's go and stand on a stall and do food bank on the food bank collection weekend. Anytime we talk to our children and we expose them to how we share God's love in the community, it is a seed. Oh, bless you. Isn't it beautiful? Oh, Tony, you've done a cracking job there, mate. and you've lived with three women. Do you know what I mean? Well done, honestly. So, but that is what it is, isn't it? That is evidence of when we sow with our children, what we sow yields later in life. So thanks for that. Sorry, little side there. These two ladies, praise God, last year we led the fun day. Do you remember? It was our first one for a while. And we were a little bit like, how are we going to run the fun day this year? We've got all the projects we want to work on. And we weren't sure if we were going to be able to do it. And the only way we could do it is if two people or one or two people stepped up to the plate and said, we will lead it. And actually, with very little support and guidance from me and Liz and Keith, because he's really busy, these two have undertaken the running of the fun day, and they've already done loads of legwork. Loads. And the heart of the fun day is to give a bank holiday to this community. Because a lot of the people in this community can't afford it. One of the things we saw last year in the fun day is that loads of those children hadn't gone anywhere at all over their summer holiday, and actually things like barbecue food wasn't common, so there were lots of families who came and took food and took it home. I was on the gate. We saw it, didn't we? We saw people, some with buggies, came and took their barbecue food and then took it home. We were like, that's okay, the church just wants to give you a good bank holiday, hope you have a nice time, and wherever you're doing it, it's fine. So we want to give that community, this community, our community, love on bank holiday. And so these guys have put loads of effort in already. We've already had a few meetings, haven't we? You guys have had meetings and you've reported back to the community team. So here's a big plug for the fun day. If you've not already signed up, I think Sonia's probably chased you down, but you'd be so welcome. This is also evidence of the right people with the right gifts offering up their time for the glory of Jesus. We had a meeting this week, and bless Joe, bit of a panic. Oh my gosh, why did I volunteer for this? This is massive. Because it does feel like, you know, let's be real, it just can feel a little bit overwhelming, can't it? And I went, it's all for Jesus. You can't get that wrong. You can't, if your heart is to glorify God, the outcome does not matter. It's the heart of which we do it. You're doing it for Jesus. God will bless it anyway, but you're doing it for Jesus. That's what matters. Yeah? We're glorifying God and blessing our community, serving our community. So, yeah, they're on the hunt this week for raffle prizes. So, Chepstow, watch out. That's all I can say. Chepstow, watch out. That's all I can say. And then that leaves me to me and Liz, really. Mostly Liz, I've got to say. So we've done, this year, as you know, we've rolled out TLG. And I just wrote this down. I just made a little bit, a few notes about this. Totally left my notes behind, so I've probably missed stuff out. But, so far, Thornwell have done 12 sessions, right? 12 hours. So how many adults in Thornwell? Five. Five 12s are... Oh, I need to flash my sweets out for that. Right, who somebody said that loud over there? Right, so five 12s are 60. That's 60. No, it was Summer and William, I think. Summer and William, he shouted it out as well. So that is in Thornwell Primary School, 60 hours of one-to-one coaching to a child who just needs some time. 60 hours. That's a lot when you start thinking about it in those ways. A lot. 60 hours. And in Thornwell, in Pembroke, we started a little bit later because we couldn't start them both at the same time. It would have just been too overwhelming. We've done five sessions and there's five of us. So already we're up to 85 hours of church individuals coaching vulnerable families. And we've talked about this because we've met quite a few times now as a TLG team. And we've talked about how we're going to move it forward, what we're going to do. And we're not going to start having all the TLG families and inviting them to events that we're doing deliberately just for those people, because we actually don't think that'll be so helpful. For quite a few reasons. So instead what we're doing is we're doing personal invites to the TLG families, to all the events that we do as a church. So we're going to personally invite them to the fun day. We're going to personally invite them to the light party. We'll personally invite them to Christmas, things like Fathering Sunday. Anything that we do, we're going to just start including them in and making them feel welcome to. So that therefore, it's not like... you're the TLG families. It's just like, oh, you're just a guest at church. It's just normal, isn't it? You're just part of our community that we love. So that's the thing for us. The next thing that we're also doing with TLG is that we're meeting with some of the ministers from churches together, from the other churches across Chepstow, and we're going to try and help those churches do TLG in their own communities. So for Tiddenham Parish, we're going to try and help Tiddenham Parish do TLG in Office Mead and potentially Wydeen and also potentially Tuts Hill Primary School. So that's our next step, to start talking to the other leaders across Chepstow around what they can do in their communities and helping them, because we've done it now. So actually we know how relatively easy, wasn't to start with, but how relatively easy it is. Please, please, please keep praying for all of this. Behind all of these people sits a myriad of volunteers, large numbers of volunteers. Okay? So, and if you're interested, I coach a little girl in Pembroke, okay? That's one of my favourite hours of the week. My phone goes off, I take in my book with her, I take in my resources, and actually we just have a lovely hour, and that hour flies by. And and the mother of that daughter is so similar in personal circumstances to myself. We talk regularly on the phone, and that's a family that I never would have had the opportunity to bless and love in Jesus' name without that project. So if you're interested in doing anything, in helping with food bank or helping with the fun day or doing any at the schools, any of the things that we're talking about now, please, please, please come and see us, because we will be developing those things as we move through the year. However, you can now sit down. I'm going to make one plea. Thank you. Well done, everybody. Huge thank you. However, Tor has done some research for us on another project that we'd really be interested in running. And this is the sister project to TLG, and it's called Make Lunch. And essentially what we know about this community through our conversations with the heads is that there are a lot of families who are on free school meals for whom during the school holidays they actually struggle to feed their children. Because actually the school provides breakfast club and lunch. And so really, Monday to Friday, these families mostly only have to provide a tea or an evening dinner for their kids. And we want to really help meet that need, because our serving community passion is to meet the needs of the community for Jesus. And so Tor's done some research. We know we can run it, but what we don't have is anybody to lead it. Now, we have actually had somebody come confidentially to us and approach us and said, I couldn't do it at the moment, but I would love to lead it in the future. And that is really, really phenomenal and an amazing step forward for us. If you would be interested in giving up a bit of your time during the school holidays, maybe for 1 or 2 days during the lunchtime break, to just meet with some families, help them make their lunch for their children and help provide a space where their children can just have a bit of fun. Please come and see either myself or Liz or anybody on the community team with a t-shirt on, and we'll be able to help you support that mission. So that is serving community. What we're now going to do, thank you so much for waiting and being so patient. What we're now going to do is Jack's going to play a song with the worship team, and I just want you to pray, okay? Just going to take the length of the time it takes us in the song to pray for all the things that we are trying to do in the community in Jesus' name as the first step for connecting people to Jesus. Please don't sit there and feel a little bit self-conscious. If you all just pray with the person sat next to you, okay, and then I'll just pray for the children and they can go out and have their Bridge Kids and Relentless morning. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks, Jack. And now, unless you're like a real strategy nerd, the next bit probably is not so interesting to everybody else, but it's fairly interesting to me because it's all the strategy element. So if we can just have the next slide, please, that'd be great. So I'm just going to talk as quickly as I can about this element of our vision. Okay. I went to a conference last year, and there was a great guy who's a motivational leadership speaker. His name is Maxwell, and he is actually one of the leading experts on leadership. And he did several sessions that I was privileged to attend, and he made a statement, and he made it several times in those sessions. And this statement was that everything rises and falls on leadership. Okay. Now, we know that everything rises and falls on Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father. That's what we know. However, we can either do things with great clarity and organization, and those things help us to maximize our progress for God, or we can have less clear, less well-organized leadership, and then perhaps communication goes a bit awry and things get a bit disorganized. And what we've really, really tried to do over the last 3 years is we have tried to systematically and carefully and in a considered way build what goes on underneath everything else. And you probably don't really know that much about all of it, but we've tried really, really hard in a considered way to make sure that the systems of the church run really so smoothly that actually you don't really notice them. You know, that actually you don't see, so you don't see the budget mechanisms or the planning or the way that we meet together, that those things actually are so kind of smooth and well-structured that all the work is, all the things that we do for Jesus, that's what is focused on. But I just want to take a little while to just tell you the things that we've done and to take you on a bit of a journey of the last 3 years. Because although we are facing that way, we are pressing on towards the goal, to the prize which we are called in Jesus, yeah? It's important that we see there is always a process in God. We cannot escape God's processes. That's in changing our characters, but that's also in building things. Always God is teaching us something or doing something. And actually what we see when we look at this particular aspect of the vision is that there has been something very faithful about it. God has been very, very faithful to us. He's provided for us. He's provided skills. He's provided gifts. He's provided financially. He's really blessed us. And there is just as much of God's faithfulness, God's goodness in this stuff as there is in the 60 hours of coaching. God is just as present in all of this stuff as God is in the feeding of people at Food Bank. So I just want to talk you through some of it. So in 2017 and 18, we did a lot of building of the shelf. And what that basically means, that concept, is that we want to be able to drop as many ministries onto the shelf of the church as we can and for it not to break. So we've spent a couple of years putting systems and things in place so that actually if somebody came to us and said, I want to do Make Lunch, we go, okay, that's fine, that goes here. We can help you do that. If somebody comes to us and says, we want to hire the building because we'd like to do this with it, okay, that's fine, here's the process for that. If somebody comes and says to us, I'd like to do Open the Book, okay, we can put it this way, that comes here. If somebody says, I want to come and run a teaching course called the marriage, or whatever, okay, that's it's here. And actually what we can now do is if God stirs you to do something and you come to us, we can say, okay, this is how we can help you do that. And that's really exciting for us because that means we're much more ready to be able to empower other people, to release other people to what God has called them to do. So this is how we've done that. We have put in a planning and budget process. We reconstituted the departments. So we grouped groups of leaders together into different departments. We appointed key personnel for safeguarding. Because different people who were leading safeguarding, like Vicky, had moved on. And we sort of created a set of team drives and emails for all the leaders of the church, which basically means their personal and private lives are private in the sense that they can switch off. So Martin can switch off his emails and actually he doesn't receive them and he has got that protected downtime from his role. And that's what we did in 17 and 18. And then 18 to 19, Sarah moved on and got a job. Bless her, enjoying your job. Yay, it's really good, isn't it? And if you talk to Sarah about her job, because you can see God's provision in that and how God opens doors and moves in that way. So that was really good. And we appointed the administrators, Maria and Liz. We did a lot of work on GDPR because we had to, that obviously came in and became the law last year. So we had to sort all that out. And then we provided Martin with a sabbatical. That was easy. That was a walk in the park. And then we did some work on mental health. So Rachel Norman developed the strategy for mental health for us and is continuing to develop that strategy this year. And we also did some largely connected work with the Cinnamon Network, who helped us to evaluate the needs of our community and to put a plan into place. And all of that went on last year. And this year, we're doing more building, more consolidation, more consistency, more sustainability. Okay? And so what we've done is we've constituted staff meetings. So every 6 months, we meet together as a group of staff, which probably sounds like that's not very often, but it's amazing what we can do. And so this week, we've had a staff meeting. And basically, we sit round and the administrators and Martin, they talk about their roles and we talk about any issues that come up, how we can solve any issues that might have arisen and just help them serve us. And it's surprising the things that came up. Things like, I haven't taken my holiday. What? Okay, you need to take your holiday. You need to take your holiday. You need to take your holiday. You know, things like that. Practical things that, again, and things to do with health and safety and things like that, that you probably, when you come on a Sunday, we're here to worship God on a Sunday and learn from his word. But those things go on in the background, and without them, we wouldn't be here to worship God. We wouldn't be able to run TLG. So we've done staff meetings, and we've also introduced appraisals. And the reason that we felt introducing appraisals was really important is because we want to be able to develop training mechanisms for Liz and for Miriam and for Martin. So anything that they want to be trained in, we want to be able to have a route to be able to budget for that. Also, we want to be able to support them effectively. So what's going well? What's quite challenging? How can we help you? What do you need? And actually what that appraisal system does is it just provides us with a space for discussion. Because otherwise, what happens is you get so busy with the day-to-day, you don't actually have those discussions. And then before you know it, things have rolled on and rolled on and rolled on, and that's not helpful. That's not helpful to people who actually are employed. So we want to really, really, really take care of them. We don't want them to burn out. We don't want them to have lots of pressure. And we want to, so it gives us an opportunity to look at their role, work out, is that enough or too much within the time frame that they work, and things like that. And so we have all those conversations. And it was a bit weird, but then it was really good. I hope it was for you. It was really good, wasn't it? And then other things that we're going to look at this year is we've spent quite a bit of time and we'll continue to spend quite a lot of time thinking about finance. And when we talk about finance, I have to say, we do not come around finance with any fear. We have no fear about finance. Earlier on in the year, we were given a word about the finance, and it was about the widow's oil. And it's almost as though God has been saying to us, trust me. Trust me, and God has allowed us to live on that just enough line, just enough. And that's although it's been testing for us, we've not felt anxious about it. We've just kind of come together, and we've come together, we've revisited it, we've stewarded as carefully as we can, and we've tried to be as open and transparent with you as a community of believers as we can, okay? So we're still looking at finance a lot. And then we also want this year to do a pathway for visitors. We've talked about this for a little while, and that's about how we enable people who are new to the church or visiting to the church move from being just a visitor in a smooth way to being a connected life group and relational person within the church who's got good relationships and does life together and grows together, and then helping them find their place where their gift can be used in a position of serving community and serving both inside and maybe outside of the church. So we're looking at how we do that this year. And then we're also going to be looking at the interior of the building. I'm having some rather exciting conversations about this with a couple of people where we'd really like for when you walk into this building, you see the heart of who we are called to be. So you can feel the heart. I was stood there this morning, and when Jack started playing, and you can hear everybody singing in praise and worship. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing. But we'd really like for as other people come into the building, visitors come in on breakfasts and all those kind of things, we'd really like for the building to say immediately, we love this community. Bulwark and Thornwell is where our heart is, and we love doing life together and growing together. So we're looking to do some work over that and plan that this year. And we're also looking at developing the website and just keeping that up to date and in the same way. And Liz and Keith, when Keith has got a bit of downtime later in the year, are going to be learning to do that together. If you are... I say this every year and nobody ever speaks to me about it. If you are interested in this type of work, if you have a gift in this type of leadership, organization, management, please come and see me. Please, please, please come and see me. Because, I mean, I'm not lonely, but but it would be nice to have a little friend to help me and to work with. And also because, you know, where two or three are gathered, Jesus is in the midst also. So having somebody help me with this would be really helpful spiritually for me. But also it would be really helpful because other people's ideas are different to mine. And having a variety of ideas in your mind about the way that you develop strategies as things change is really, really helpful. So if that is you, please, please, please come and see me. Just before I finish, does anybody have any questions about that? Any at all? You're all really interested, aren't you? No, I'm just joking. Okay, so we're going to move on now to the other elements of the vision. Thank you very, very much for listening. And I just want to say to everybody who works behind the scenes, to like all the people who work behind the scenes making the church happen, just so grateful. Just so, so grateful. Because we do, you know, we are starting to really meet the needs of families and in a different way. And it feels like a gear shift in the Holy Spirit for us. So to everybody who prays, to everybody who supports, to all the supporters on the sidelines, to anybody who cleans or anybody who actually helps practically, and to the people who gift financially, I just want to say so from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. Okay, that's me done. That's you.
Great. Thanks, Jen.
You're welcome.
Good. Take them, Holly. Let me just echo that, how important this aspect of our church is, and how grateful I am to Jen and others who have helped us on that journey. As someone who's carried the burden of you know, the leadership of the church for a long time, it has been so helpful to me to have this kind of looked at and strengthened over the last few years, and it has released me and probably many others as well into all that God's called us to. So that is really helpful. I often liken it to the in a house, you see, you know, light and heat, which we enjoy in our homes. You see the light bulbs, you receive the heat from the radiators, but behind those two things that are visible, you've got a whole system of wires and pipes that if they weren't there, then the light bulb would be pointless and the radiator would be pointless. And yet they're the things that actually, you know, and so often we kind of celebrate the things that we can see, but all of this stuff, actually, without it, the stuff you see wouldn't have any impact or power. So we need to be grateful for that and continue to sow into that. Okay, so prayer as our heartbeat. Obviously, we're building up this morning as well. We're going to talk about generosity in a moment, and we're going to talk about vision offering. I'll say more about that in a moment. But prayer as our heartbeat, as you have already discovered, is another one of our vision areas that we want to sow into. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Always pray, not give up. When you read the book of Acts, you see that the church were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Paul tells the Colossians to devote yourselves to prayer. And we can read things like this in the Bible and many others besides. And that those things, those same instructions, those same calls come to us as well. And therefore, the same motivation leads us to want to be a church that has prayer as our heartbeat. Why is that something important to us? Well, hopefully it's obvious to you, but firstly, the needs in our own lives, the needs in our own families, the needs in this church, the needs in the church in our town, the needs in the lives of those in our communities, the needs in the cause of world mission are huge and are endless and are in many ways and often desperate. So we simply have to pray because the needs are so great. And not only that, but secondly, God has promised to respond when we pray. So not only do we have these needs, but we have God's promise that he will respond. He will act when we pray. He will answer us when we call. And I hope you know this, but God can do more in 5 minutes if we will let him and if we will depend on him than we can probably do in 5 years or 50 years or whatever. And so we just must get that. The Bible says you do not have because you do not ask God. And you will know that the enemy has numerous tactics to keep us from praying. Why? Because he knows, more than we do probably, that prayer is the greatest way for the kingdom of God to expand. And so if Satan can keep us from praying, then he knows that half of his work is done. And so this is really important. So we need to fight for this. We need to persevere in this. If you were here on Tuesday night at Prayer and Praise, Karen led us, and the strategic prayer team led us, and they talked about perseverance, persist, keep going, don't give up, because God is responding. And so, as a church, we need to keep this in mind. We need to keep facilitating this heartbeat of prayer. We do that in various ways, in strategic ways, in spontaneous ways. So we do that by praying when we gather together on Sundays, you know, from the front, but also just as you have done about 5 minutes ago, as you pray together. We do that. We pray when we gather in life groups. We pray in prayer meetings. We do it by 24/7 prayer. Occasionally throughout the year, we'll set this room up and enjoy that space in order to pray. We do that by appointing a strategic prayer team who help cover us in prayer and the mission of the church in prayer. We also do that by seizing the countless opportunities to pray for one another in the context of our ongoing relationships. I hope you do that. I hope you receive that. I hope you see that when you're part of this community, that people are praying all the time. And so we're doing all of that, which is fantastic. And then we're also wanting to add to our prayer initiative and focus this year a permanent prayer space. You would have heard me allude to this in the past, but a permanent prayer space in Unit 2, which we're calling the Loft. That's Jenny Bruce's idea for the name, but I think it's great. So the Loft is something that's been on the table for a couple of years now, actually. And then on my return from sabbatical, I just felt God prompting me and us to press on and press into this, see what happens. Don't wait for the perfect time, because that time will never arrive. So let's just get on and set it up and see what God wants to do through it. So Jenny Bruce and her team have begun setting up the space at the top of the stairs in Unit 2, which otherwise is pretty much dead space. I suppose you just pass through it when you go into kids' church or whatever. And they're changing that space into a peaceful, helpful, stimulating, inspiring place to pray. And that space will be available between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. every day for any person or persons from the church to book in for an hour and engage with God in prayer for the sake of his work in our lives, in our community, and in our world. And so we're trying to make that as simple and as accessible as possible. So the booking system will be the same as for what we use for 24/7 prayer events. So you just follow a link, you choose your hour, you book in, and then you just turn up and pray. And then access to that prayer space, you won't even need a key, because we've already put on, Martin's put on a key code access lock system, which will be shared, the code for that will be shared via church email list when we're up and running. So really simple, really easy, really accessible. Now, why a prayer space? Why might this be important for us? Why not just encourage people to pray at home? Why not just have another prayer meeting or whatever? Well, prayer is hard. I don't know if you realize that. Prayer is hard. I think it's the hardest thing we do as Christians. Yet it's the most powerful and significant thing we can do. And so we simply must continue to work for this and to persevere in prayer and to find ways to help us in that endeavor. And so I think to actually have a space that people can deliberately go to in order to pray, where distractions are minimized, where helpful prayer points are displayed, where peace and quiet can be found, where an encounter with God can be facilitated, I think to provide a space like that is a really, really helpful and powerful thing to do. And of course, yes, it will take a little more effort and a little more planning for you to go and use the prayer space for an hour. But that's the point. I think that little more effort and that little more planning actually puts you in a better place to, once you're booked in, to get up, to go, and to then actually do business with God and to pray. It gives you more incentive to get on your knees, rather than if you just say, oh, no, I need to pray, and I want to pray, and I'll try and fit it in at home, and all the distractions and all that kind of stuff, it probably doesn't happen as it should. So hopefully it will give us that. In the same way, you know, when you go to the gym, when you actually make that decision to go to the gym, you're likely to do exercise when you get there, aren't you? You know, whereas if you just think, I know I need to exercise, well, I probably should do something today, you just don't get around to it. So going somewhere will help, and that's the idea behind it. And again, if we're just to add another prayer meeting, which we could have done, you know, let's just fill up with some more prayer meetings. The reality is, some of you would come to that, but for most of you, it probably wouldn't be suitable or wouldn't be convenient in terms of the time. Whereas with a prayer space, you choose the time that suits you the best, and that you make it work around your schedule. What works for you. And so by doing that, by providing that space, we can increase the amount of prayer being offered as a church during the course of any week or month or even year. And that is an exciting prospect as far as I'm concerned. So we're going to be launching that, the Loft, hopefully on the 1st of July, that will be launched. An email will be sent out in due course regarding that. Give you the date, give you the link for the information you need and the booking system that you need. And then this will become an ongoing part of our prayer as a church, our prayer for provision as a church. And so I'm really excited about it. I hope you are too. I hope you'll use that and engage with that. My encouragement would be to try and make that a regular part of your life and your routine, maybe a regular booking once a month or bi-monthly or something, where you are using that space and you are participating prayerfully in what God is doing in this church and in and through your life. Because if we can't pray as a church, then something really somewhere is out of whack and probably needs realigning. So we just need to get this, we need to cultivate this heartbeat, and we need to look for as many opportunities and ways to do that. I believe that God can do great things through ordinary people pray. And I believe God can do great things through a church of ordinary people who will depend upon him through prayer. And with all the stuff that's going on, fantastic, we need to make sure that we're continuing with this beat of prayer. Because we don't just want to be busy doing stuff, but not have it grounded in a dependency upon God. So just encourage you in that, look out for that and access that and be excited about that. So that's prayer as our heartbeat. Secondly, growing together, I want to just talk about briefly. Jesus, some of his last words before he ascended back to his Father in heaven, he gave the disciples the commission, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore," Jesus says, "go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." And then he says, "And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." That commission that God gave to his disciples, by implication, comes to us, the church. So every Christian is commanded to participate in the mission of making disciples of Jesus. We are all in. And that simply means, to make disciples simply means to help someone else follow Jesus. That's what we're called to do. And so what that means for the church is, if we're going to try and help other people follow Jesus, we have to be following Jesus for ourselves, and therefore we're going to need help from others. If we're going to help others, we need to be helped. And it's that relationship of mutual help and mutual learning that actually captures the growing together aspect of our vision, the heart that we carry as a church. And in the same way as with prayer, actually our desire as leaders is to help provide various opportunities and contexts in which that growth and that growing together can be facilitated. And so two main aspects of that for us as a church is obviously the teaching of God's word, the public teaching of God's word, or wherever that happens, but also the provision of life groups. So let me just share a bit about these two things. First, the teaching for a moment. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that the word of God is central to the transformation of lives and also central to a healthy church. We know also that not only is that central, but God gives gifts to his church in order to make the teaching ministry a key building block of any church. And as you know, that's why we make space for the teaching and preaching of the word each Sunday when we gather together. And that's why we also encourage all of you to make God's word a kind of daily priority as much as you can in the context of your day-to-day lives. You'll also know that after my sabbatical, I came back with a renewed conviction regarding my own sense of calling to the ministry of the word. And so part of that conviction that I returned with has led to the desire to make just various additional short courses available to help us get to grips with the Bible, to go a little deeper, to learn more about it, what it means to follow God. And we kicked off the first one of those really with gender, sexuality and the gospel on Wednesday. It was great to see so many of you wanting to be part of that and engage with that topic. That's really important for us at the moment. But let me just say, the teaching of the word is never about just receiving information, or me or anybody else just giving information. It is never about that. It is always about fueling transformation in our lives and in our community. And don't ever miss that. It's not about information, it's about transformation. It's not just about receiving more knowledge, it's actually about growing. It's about growth. That's why we do what we do. We don't just want to get fat on the word, we want to get fit in the word and with the word. And so James says again, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. do what it says. And so what we're receiving should be having an impact in our hearts and our lives to change us to be the people that God has called us to be. And so that's what, whenever there's teaching ministry that we provide as a church, it's about an opportunity to grow together so that we are doing what God has called us to do. So if we think back over recent years, we did that with the Building for Growth, but in 2017, I don't know if you remember, and you kind of, because we do obviously have a lot of teaching, and so it can be easy to forget what we've done or what we've learned, but God is active in that. But in 2017, we spent a whole year on our Healthy Church series. A whole year. And that involved teaching on key characteristics that we want to cultivate as a church in order that we might become the right kind of church, a church that is alive and healthy and fruitful. And so we talked about prayer in that year and the centrality of the Word of God and being grace-filled and interdependent relationships and family and generosity and disciple-making and being positive and life-giving and joyful and thankful. All of these things that are key to the kind of church that we want to become. And remember, it's not just information we were given. It's about transformation. That's what we're looking for. That's how we do it. 2018, we did a series at the beginning of 2018 in Philippians. If you remember that, Finding Joy, it was called. And again, just providing an opportunity to get into a book of the Bible that helps us discover where true joy is to be found. So despite suffering, despite setback, despite opposition, despite lack, despite conflict, we learn that we can have joy because we know Christ and because our hope is in Him. And again, the whole point of teaching the Bible is because we believe that the Bible's life-giving message brings strength and transformation to our lives and our community. During the autumn of 2018, when I was on sabbatical, you journeyed through the Gospel of Mark together. Why? Because walking with Jesus through the pages of Scripture helps us walk like Jesus as we journey through life. There is always a purpose to what we're teaching. Seeing who Jesus is impacts who we are and the way we live. Now in 2019, we're studying 1 Corinthians and we're seeking to grow together as the church in the face of a challenging culture. And that's exactly what the church at Corinth were trying to do. And so we're kind of seeing and learning lessons about that. All of this is important. We don't do it for the sake of it. We don't provide these opportunities for the sake of it just because that's what the church does or that's what tradition says or that's what religion requires. We do it because we believe the Word of God is vital to our health and central to our growth and transformation. And we want to be a church that is constantly growing together. And so with that, in addition to the gender and sexuality short course that we're running right now, there's just a couple of other things to look out for. On two Saturday evenings in July, on the 13th and the 20th of July, Sarah and I will be running a marriage refresh course. And so it's an opportunity to take some intentional time out to invest in your relationship as a married couple. For the sake of the health of your marriage. So look out for that. We can only take 6 couples on that course. So just be ready for that email when it comes out. If you want to be part of that, you need to respond. And in October, we're going to be diving into the book of Revelation. So that will be on 3 Wednesdays in October. And again, Revelation is a typically fascinating yet confusing book. But it's a helpful book in giving us a powerful picture of our future hope. And so grappling with this book will hopefully, one, debunk a lot of nonsense that we hear around the book itself, but also just help us expand our vision of Jesus and fuel our patient endurance as we wait for Him and our anticipation of our future hope. So that will be something that will hopefully be really helpful to us as well. And remember, all of this that I'm sharing is about multiplication. What I mean is, as we receive the Word, as we are shaped by the Word in whatever context, we then share our wisdom, we share our lives that are being transformed by the Word with others. So it's all about multiplication. The Word is not supposed to end with you, it's supposed to flow through you into the lives of others and into the lives of our community. We grow together. So as well as the teaching opportunities, we also have another significant means of growing together, and that's our life groups. And life groups are a key way in which we can develop relationships with a smaller number of people in the church where we can both give and receive care and prayer and support and encouragement and wisdom. We do that for one another. We're growing together in those relational contexts. And life groups, as Martin said a few weeks ago, are not intended to just be about one meeting a week. You know, that's not the life group, but it's actually supposed to serve as almost a mini community through which we help one another and love one another and serve one another so that we can live life for Jesus. We can walk with Jesus as we do that together as community. The Christian life was was never intended to be lived alone. We need one another. We need relationships. We need to support and encourage one another. And so life group is just a vehicle to enable us to try and grow that in a more intentional way. Just on that, I'm going to ask Margaret. She's going to come up. Margaret's going to come and just share a testimony that will encourage us as we think about life groups. Thank you, Margaret. That's all right. Patience is good for us. Margaret's been had this kind of testimony that she said she wanted to share. She's had it for some time now, for quite a few weeks, I think. And it's always just been trying to find the right time. But I think now is the perfect time, Margaret. So,
can I lean on?
Of course you can, yeah. Let me move that out of the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Are you going to be able to hold that at the same time or not?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I put a few notes just in case. You hold that one.
I'll hold that. See, me good.
Just in case I forget
anything. No, that's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful for our life group. I still call it Connect because it keeps us connected together. And I had experience of this over the last year. Going back to August, I fell and broke my leg and actually fainted in the kitchen. And I didn't know when I got up that I'd broken anything. And the doctor said, no, you haven't broken anything, it's just a bad twist. Well, I was walking around on a broken leg for 10 days, and then it was discovered that I had a broken leg. So it's a long story. I was taken to Lydney Hospital. They didn't have a bed for me. I was taken to Gloucester, laid on a trolley all night, and eventually a bed was found in a nursing home. And I was away 9 weeks altogether. And during that time, I had such wonderful support from my, well, I still call it my Connect group. Every week, I had visitors from this church. I had various texts. My text was always pinging all day. And sometimes, you know, it was very early in the morning. People would text me before they went to work. I thought that was wonderful. And during all that time, I eventually got into hospital and had pins put in my leg. And then it was back to another nursing home where they rehabilitated me. But in the home, we used to sit around the table and talk about different things as a group. There was about eight of us there, I think. And one day they were talking around the table and none of them had a good word to say about church. They thought churches were terrible and they were really tearing it to pieces. But anyway, they looked at me and they said, and what's your opinion, Margaret? You haven't said anything. So I said, well, I said, I don't recognise the church you're talking about. I said, that's not my experience. And I said, you've remarked on the amount of visitors I get every week. And some people there didn't get any. And I said, and you've pulled my leg about always being on texting people or answering a text. I said, well, that's my church. Amen. I said, and that's my home group, my Connect group. And I said, I've never been without a visitor, not any day. And I've never been without messages. So, you know, I wouldn't have had any of that without my Connect group. So I recommend everybody joining one if you can. Because I know the time doesn't suit everybody, different times, but they have tried to accommodate us. I'm lucky because I've got a morning one. So I can go out, I'm free anyway, you know, but I don't go out at night. But some of you have to go to work, I know. So try and get into one if you possibly can, because you'll never regret it. And, you know, we don't just go there just to have fun or not for what we can get. We're all there to participate. We all care for each other. We all pray for each other. So I thoroughly recommend you getting into a life group.
Great. Bless you, Margaret. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well done. Great job.
Have another week.
Thank you.
That's great. Great encouragement.
Oh, I've got two on now. I don't need this, do I? Well, great encouragement there to see the purpose of these life groups or connect groups, as Margaret likes to call them still, to see it worked out. That's what it's about. It's about building relationship. It's about having that community of support and care that we give and receive, that we don't just receive, but we're participators in those groups. And again, as Margaret said, if you're not connected, then seek to try and be connected. And again, I know for many that the situations, the circumstances mean that you can't get to those groups. But what we also, you know, try to do is at least still include you, even if you can't attend, you know, when the particular meetings might be or the gatherings might be, that you're still attached to a group and therefore you still have a mini community that you are connected into, that you can still kind of share your prayer needs with, or where you're at with, or still attend when they might have things that are like socials or whatever. So we're all still part of a group in some way, so that we can continue to build the kind of community that God wants for us. So that's just part of our heart of growing together. We want to keep on that journey because we feel it's really important that we learn together and we give and receive towards one another. Okay, so teaching and life groups. Prayer is our heartbeat, serving community, building for growth, growing together, and then continually generous. Continually generous. Jen's already mentioned briefly about our finances and how we're, you know, obviously constantly needing to trust God in that. You will be aware, if you've been part of the Bridge Church for the last couple of years, that our financial situation has presented challenges, and so that has meant that we've had to make certain decisions because obviously we have a responsibility to steward well and to steward wisely. And so, you know, we've tried to, again, be transparent with you and share the journey with you. And there's three decisions that we have made recently in regards to our finance. One was that we have renewed the building lease here for 3 years, not six. And again, that's just part of just trying to be wise in terms of where we're at financially. We believe that our income will be sufficient to sustain us, but we didn't want to over commit and we feel that God is still wanting us to very much be here in this community. We sensed that this morning, that heart for our community, for Balkan Thornwall, has been strengthened. So this is not the time to say let's not meet here anymore. So we feel that that's important, so we've done that, and we're here for at least another 3 years in this building. And the second thing we did was we adjusted our ongoing giving commitment to 18%. I think it was one of the young people over there that shouted out 18%. You were right. It just, you know, didn't give us the banner, which was continually generous. So well done. You should probably have a pack of sweets if there's some there. Chuck a pack back to Grace, I think it was, or someone. Well done. Because that's good. And so, and you will know again if you've been part of the church, part of the vision, our five-year vision which we had, which we've kind of gone beyond, but we wanted to increase our giving, which is why it was increasingly generous, not continually generous, increase our giving 3% each year to reach 30% by year five. And it was a privilege to be able to do that and to kind of go on that journey, although not without its challenges. However, that five-year period came to an end in March, and we felt as an oversight that it was right to adjust our ongoing giving commitment to a more kind of sustainable level of 18% going forward, which actually honors the commitments that we've made over the past 5 years, and also is still a clear commitment, obvious commitment to lavish generosity, to continual generosity that we want to maintain as a church. And so that's where we're at. So we're still giving away 18%. We will obviously honor, and we are honoring, the 30% commitment for the previous financial year. And so we're currently taking steps to direct those surplus funds to the best possible places and projects as God has connected us to them. And obviously we'll share that information with you as that happens. And then the third thing, so we're renewing our lease, we've adjusted our giving, but the third thing is that we're planning another vision offering, and that's what we're going to kind of lead into in a moment. And this is something we've done from time to time as a church, as a means of providing an opportunity for people to give in ways that go beyond what might be your regular giving. And again, we believe this is right. We believe this is biblical to have these kind of special offerings. And God has always used these in the life of the Bridge Church to really bless us and extend our resources and our ability to do what we do. So today's vision offering, it's not so much about a particular project or we're not launching a new vision activity or anything like that. Or we're not launching a building program, which you often associate vision offerings with. Rather, we are asking you to continue to sow into the ongoing vision that we carry as a church. And that covers all the things that we believe God has put in our hearts, all the things that we've been talking about today, that you're seeing. This is part of who we are. And so we're asking you to continue to invest in that so that we can continue to be the church that God wants us to be. And so serving our community, building efficiently, growing spiritually, gathering corporately, discipling effectively, giving generously, and making an impact both locally but also globally is what we want to do. And all of that, as you can imagine, requires financial and practical resources. It doesn't just happen. And so creating an opportunity today for each of us to give above and beyond to help us continue with the vision that God has put in our hearts. At our ALG National Conference earlier this year, I was reminded of the biblical principle of sowing and reaping, and I was struck by some obvious yet powerful principles. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 9. He says, now, verse 10, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It's an incredible passage, incredible verse. But just three things. Number one, nothing happens until the seed is planted. Nothing happens until the seed is planted. So you're not going to change the world if the seeds stay only in your hand. What good is it for us to just hold on to the things that God gives to us? To reap a harvest, you need to sow the seed. And again, that's part of what our giving is. It's about sowing into the things of God's kingdom. The second thing is, when you sow, and this is always the case, it initially feels like loss. It feels like you're losing when you sow or when you give. And it's not just about finance, but whatever, when you sow of time or whatever. But it feels like loss because you've given away what you had in your hand. It was yours. It was in your hand. And now, you've given that away. And it feels like I'm losing here. But in time, the Bible promises you will see a harvest, a reward from what you choose to give and sow. That's what God says. He will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness as we participate with him in his kingdom. And then the third thing is, the best time to plant, the best time to sow is now. And I'll say, it never feels like the right moment, but every moment is a right moment with God. Every moment is a right moment to sow and to plant, because the seed only comes to life when it's sown, when it's given. So it's always better to give it than to hold on to it. And that giving, that sowing, will reverberate into the future. And that's a real encouragement for us, because we will make a kingdom impact and receive an eternal treasure. So we're gonna do that now. I'm going to ask the worship team if they can just come and prepare and get ready. There are, obviously we've been telling you about this for some time now, but there are vision offering envelopes available at the back. So these are specific ones with yellow on them. So if you need one of those, then please can go and help yourself to those in a moment. And as we worship and prepare for that, there are four ways to give. In fact, it's up there on the thing. So you can obviously give by check or cash, or you can make an online transfer or use your phone. I know some of you have banking on your phone, so it's fairly easy to just on your mobile. You can kind of use the church details there and make that transfer online. And in one sense, that's helpful because we, as Paul said a few weeks ago, we have to pay now for every check that we deposit and every £100 cash. However, obviously, you do what is best for you. What's the most helpful way for you to give? Then, obviously, we are grateful for all the acts of generosity this morning. If you are going to make a donation, though, what I would say, by bank transfer or by on your mobile, then I would still encourage you to take an envelope and fill it out and write down there what you are transferring online, because one, that will help you now participate in the offering this morning as we worship in a moment, in song and in giving, and just come forward and put something in the bucket. It will also help us have an immediate idea of the amount that has been given this morning. And also, if you make a note of it, so maybe you haven't come prepared to do that. Maybe actually you do banking online and you could go home and transfer it this afternoon. Well, if you write it down, that helps you to participate this morning. It'll also keep you accountable as well, help us know who's pledged what and what should be coming in. And Paul will be the only one who kind of knows that information, not me or any of the other elders. So be assured of that. You can give in that way, but Paul will be able to keep tabs on that. So please feel free to do that. You may not have, I don't know if you've come prepared, but you may not have come prepared to do that. So you might need to go home and transfer online or do it on your phone. Again, take one of those envelopes, write out what you're going to give, and then come forward and give that this morning in a moment. And again, don't forget, this is what Paul says just before the verses I read. He says this: each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So don't give because you feel like, well, mine's talking about it now or whatever. Just don't give. We don't want to give in that way. Don't give reluctantly. Don't give under compulsion. For God, it says, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So this is an opportunity. It's a privilege. This is a cheerful moment. This is a happy moment. We get to do this. We get to do this. From what God has given to us, we get to give back to him so that his work through the church and extension of his kingdom can continue to go. So whatever your situation, whatever your heart, whatever God's laid on your heart, be happy this morning as you give and as you participate in this offering. So we're really believing, obviously, to God for all that we need going forward. And of course, these envelopes will be around in the subsequent weeks as well if you're not able to give today or if others are not here and they want to give. And then don't forget also the 18% that we're committed to give for this vision offering. So everything that comes in a bucket today is going to be part of the vision offering. For this vision offering, the 18% we are going to be giving to Compassion UK for their child survival project in Togo. And I shared that with you last week. And the reason we feel kind of led to do that is because, one, obviously it's a great initiative that needs a lot of support, helping mums who are, a lot of them dying in birth, and a lot of the babies don't even make it to their first birthday just because they lack basic things that we have and we take for granted in this country. So we need to sow into that to help mothers and to help babies, and they're doing it in Togo. But also because the government have also pledged to double everything that is given to Compassion UK to this project for Togo, they are doubling it. Every single pound that is given, the UK government are doubling it up until the 24th of June. And so that ties quite nicely in with our vision offering today. So what you need to know is that what you give today is not just going to help God do what he's doing in and through this local church and all that we've heard about today, but also 18% of that is going to go to these projects in Togo, and the government are going to then double that again as well. So we not only, and if you're a taxpayer and you gift aid, you can do that as well. So not for the Togo stuff, but we still get the gift aid on that, so we kind of get more for our money here, but also the government doubles it for Togo. It's just a really exciting thing, and we're really glad to be participating in that with such a great organization as Compassion. So I'm going to pray, and then the worship team are going to lead us in a song of praise. And as they're leading us in song of praise, we're going to worship, we're going to fill out envelopes or whatever else we're going to do in order to give, and then we're going to come forward together as we're singing, and we're going to give to the work of God through this church. Father God, thank you. Thank you for all that today represents. A window into what you are doing in this church and through this church, both in the past, both now, both in the future, Lord. And we thank you that we get to be a part of that. We thank you for all that you're doing. We thank you for all that you give to us, all that you have given to us, Lord, not just financially, but in terms of resource, in terms of time, in terms of talent, in terms of energy, Lord. We are so grateful. We're grateful that we get to do this together with one another. We're grateful for all the gifts that you've deposited in this church that are being used to serve others, to serve our community, to serve our world, Lord. That is what you have called us to, Lord. And I pray that you would stir afresh in us that heart for your mission, that heart for your mission, and that heart for those that don't yet know who you are and how much you love them, Lord. We want to see that grow. We want to see more people meet Jesus, become his disciples, and serve you in this world. So, Lord, we thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, now, as we give, In relation to that vision, again, just pray you give us cheerful hearts, Lord. Lead us and guide us, Lord. And we know that you are our provider, and we trust you in it all, that you will continue to equip us with everything we need to do your will and to make much of your name. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your spirit. And thank you for your work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.